Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, today we are talking about a very important topic. Although it may not be super fun, it's something that we are really good at avoiding, really good at minimizing, at stuffing down, and that's the emotion of shame. And that's exactly why I titled this episode, Shame Shuts You Down. And this is so important, and this is one of my big whys, part of my mission as a coach with this business is to talk about all of the shameful things that we feel like we can't talk about openly and freely. Because when we have shame and we feel like this is only happening to me, I'm the only one, something's wrong with me, then we don't get the help and the support that we need and we don't see how common this is. We think it's a me problem rather than, no, there's an actual issue with the relationship or there's an issue with how you're trying to lose weight or the emotional eating can be solved. I will help you and show you how, right? We don't think about that. We think this is a me problem. I need to figure this out. I need more willpower. I just need to show up better. I just need to be perfect. I just need to please them more so that they don't lash out. It's like I have to fix me in some way. And we keep trying to solve the wrong problem. Meanwhile, we feel so much emotional pain, like shame. And we want to hide from it. We want to hide from ourselves. We want to hide from the incident. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to evaluate it. We don't want to tell ourselves the truth about it because of what that would mean. And so we keep repeating the same cycles over and over again. And so one of my goals, and with this podcast as well, is to start the conversation about all of the shameful topics that we have a really hard time talking about and to start to normalize them. Let's take all those taboo topics like money and sex and parenting and abuse and food and binge eating and let's talk about them. Let's have a conversation because this is normal to be experiencing these things. It is very common. I don't want to normalize it and say that it's okay. I don't want to normalize it and say it's condone it. I want to show how common this is and that this is not you, that there is help and support. And I know for myself, when I was going through even the prior years to my divorce, trying to figure out what was going on in my relationship and what was happening, I found that there were other communities of women just like me. And I was like, oh my gosh, there was this realization of, oh, it's not just me. This is far more widespread than I realized. And there was some relief. There was some hope. There was some awareness of, okay, this is actually a problem and I can figure out what I want to do next. Just like with binge eating, we can feel so much shame, like nobody else wrestles with it, nobody else struggles with it, or emotional eating, it's just me. And we can feel so much shame, not just in the binge eating or emotional eating, but then in the shame of regaining weight, of having lost maybe 40, 50, 60 pounds just to now have regained it a couple years later, maybe just 6 months later. We can go through these big swings of losing 30 pounds in 3 months just to gain it right back again. And it shuts us down because now we're embarrassed and we feel like there's something wrong with me. And now I am not good enough. I was good enough back when I was skinny and thin, but now that I'm not, and it keeps us from showing up. It keeps us from interacting with people. It keeps us from showing up to friend groups and interacting with friends and like keeping those friendships. It shuts us down from even things like going to the gym because we feel so self-conscious and we're like, oh, everybody's going to notice I've gained the weight. And it feels, it's really hard to work through and work past because we have self-judgment and we assume that other people then are judging us. Or maybe other people have told us so much that they are judging us, that they're looking at us. And usually we won't feel it on the negative side. We'll feel it when we've lost the weight and then somebody makes a comment like, wow, you look so much better now. Or now that you've lost the weight, you're so beautiful. And it's this like, backhanded compliment, but it really trains our brain to be like, oh my gosh, I can't regain the weight. And if you do ever regain the weight, then that really shuts you down. And now you are far less likely to show up and live your life in a true, authentic way. And so this is something we have to talk about, because it's not just about binge eating and emotional eating where we can feel shame. It's not just about weight gain. It's about money and spending and debt. It's about sex and dating and the quote, right or wrong way to do it. It goes so much deeper than this, like just our bodies and the food that we eat. But we've got to start the conversation somewhere. And so we're going to start and look at, well, first, I'm just going to explain a slight difference between shame and guilt. So guilt is I did a bad thing. And a lot of times when we have shame, we also have guilt. So it's I did a bad thing. And now shame is I am a bad person. I am bad because of this. So I can have guilt over an overeat or a binge the night before and feel really like I did a bad thing by binging. But now there's also shame of now we layer another, we just keep heaping more negative emotions on top of that of, and now I am a bad person. Now I am not good enough because I binged last night. And I think this is really interesting. One of the concepts that has come up lately around shame has also been forgiveness and self-forgiveness in particular. And so I was invited to a book club and we met yesterday and had a wonderful time. I loved meeting the women there and just having this conversation, but they were reading Forgiving What You Can't Forget by Lisa Turkhurst. And when she first told me this, I was like, oh yeah, I'm good with forgiveness. I don't have to forgive immediately, but eventually I will. And I always feel like any, especially if it's a Christian book around forgiveness, there's always a subtle or not so subtle aspect of shame that comes up of like, you should, you're supposed to. And so even if you don't want to right now, just know you have to forgive them. You have to move on. If you want God to forgive you, you have to forgive them. And I don't know how to have this conversation in a way that's not shamey when people want to bring in the Bible, because inevitably there are shoulds. And when there are shoulds, there's typically shame. And I think this is really important for us, because if we have an idea of what I should be doing and I'm not, what I should be eating and I'm not, that often will bring on shame. So I think that may be helpful for you to think about is, okay, is there a should in what I'm telling myself? Because should often equates to shame. And this is something for you to also explore and look at, okay, what other words are tend to be the trigger words that trigger the shame? Okay, but anyways, so we're talking about forgiveness. And I'm like, you know what? I feel pretty good about forgiveness. But I also felt a little, I don't know that I really want to listen to this book. I feel like even though she says there's no shame and there's no judgment, that's your goal of this book is try to convince us and get us to forgive. And so something still just doesn't sit right with that. And I'm just going to be open. I'm going to listen to it. And I also thought I want to listen to this from the lens and from the perspective, not of forgiving other people, but forgiving myself, because there are things that I still am working on forgiving myself for. And I have clients who are working on forgiving themselves for things, not just for binging or emotional eating, but for things that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. And sometimes it's around divorce and I need to forgive myself because we have this story, or some of us, my story around divorce is I'm so proud of myself for choosing divorce because I'm breaking cycles and I'm breaking patterns and I'm really proud of this decision. It's not always easy. It's not that every day is rainbows and magic and unicorns, but I'm really proud of that decision. I'm actually going to do a podcast on that just alone later. But I have several clients who feel really guilty still, who feel shame about choosing divorce. They feel like they failed their marriage. They failed their spouse. They failed their kids. They ruined their kids' lives. They created such a problem because they chose divorce. And I see it in a different way, but this is just why it's so important that we look at shame and we start to address it. Because if we're feeling shame around other areas, if there's other areas where we feel a real struggle to forgive ourselves, it will inevitably come up with food and with body. And I think sometimes what happens is we don't know where this line is and where this balance is between I shame and beat myself up and throw myself under the bus and I'm apathetic and I'm like, that happened. I guess I'll try harder next time. Oh, that happened. Whatever. And we're like flippant and apathetic about it. And there's a lot of room in between, but it's, we don't know where to go. It's, these are our two options. And so often I think in life we are given and give ourselves these false dichotomies. It's either this or that, pick one, but it's one of the two and there's no middle ground. There's no gray. And as we've talked about often, like we live life in the gray. We live life in the messy middle. We don't live it on either end. And we can. I think this is where, again, we go into these extremes, right? It's like the all in or all out. I'm either all in 100% being perfect, showing up, or I'm all out saying, screw it. I ruined it. Why bother? And we want to break this habit, break this cycle and start to live in the middle of, I didn't ruin it. I haven't ruined my kids. I didn't ruin my life. My life is now not ruined because I chose divorce. But I think that's another message that women get. And I don't know that men get that message so much. I think it's mostly women of, your life is now ruined. It's now over because you're getting divorced. You're going to struggle. You might as well go live in a shopping cart under a bridge and start eating cat food. It's very extreme. So much of the messaging that we get. And on one hand, it's, I want to recognize that like people are trying to, they're trying to be realistic. They're trying to not sugarcoat it. They don't want you to feel disappointed if you struggle after divorce in some way. Like I get where they're coming from, but I want to paint a picture of hope and joy and greatness after divorce. But we have to be able to see the patterns and see the habits. And this episode is not just about divorce. I'm just using that because I think this is a great example to use to also bring in line with food, weight loss, / weight gain, and then the emotional eating habit, because there's so much shame around that. And we really have to work on self-forgiveness. So anyways, going back to this book real quick, let me finish this story because I got off on a little tangent. But I'm listening to this book and I'm probably about halfway through now. And I start to also realize, oh, I think I do have some unforgiveness. I think I do have some bitterness. There is a part of me that is still angry about some things. And I think there were a lot of really good nuggets. But one of the things that Lisa talks about in this book is that you can make the decision to forgive and recognize that emotions will still come up later, like with grief. Is what it reminded me of. It's like we're grieving and there might be big waves of grief and then they subside, but grief might still come back a month later, a week later. And I've noticed I've experienced more waves of grief recently too, even after like fun events with girlfriends. I think I brought this up the other week of having these good moments. And then Friday night, this weekend, having another wave of grief and just sadness and needing to be there to sit there with those emotions, having some waves of grief that came up as I'm driving to book club and like tears start to fill my eyes. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And one of the things she said that really, it really struck home was she was saying sometimes it's those who are silent that are in the most pain. And it just resonated so much with me because so much of the pain that we experience, we suffer through in silence because of shame, because we feel like it's me, it's my fault, I'm the problem. We feel like there's nobody else is going through it, no one else is going to understand that this is the way that it is, that it shuts us down and we struggle and we wrestle on our own for so long. And that's what I want to change. And I want to create a space where we can talk about all the shameful things and truly be able to heal that, regardless of what it is. But we have to be able to start this conversation. We have to be able to talk about it. We have to be able to feel the emotions that are still coming up. And I noticed this came up with which I'm doing a bonus episode. This might come out in the next week or two, most likely, but I'm going to tell you a story about how I learned who a person really was. He showed me his true colors in an extraordinary way. And I was like, holy moly, I just dodged a bullet was my final thought there. But there's still some anger of like, how dare he? That rat bastard, like this guy. And I felt very misunderstood. I felt very angry. I felt very much like, who do you think you are? Like, you mother effer, right? Like in my mind, there's this emotion that comes up. And because I said no. And so it's, I'm holding a boundary, I'm saying no, and then he wants to lash out at me. And that makes me angry. It also makes me really proud of myself for being able to see it and walk away and block him and completely cut off communication. Like, I'm very proud of a lot of progress that I've made, but it still brought up, it brought up some things where I was like, oh, nope, I have not forgiven him. This was actually a bigger deal in my mind than I realized. And not because his words hurt me, but there was this anger that came up. So anyways, that was really good to recognize with this book. And also, again, to see it from this lens of how do I heal? Like, how do I heal and how do I step into true self-forgiveness? What does that truly look like? And that's something I'm working on a process for myself and for my clients so that we can move through it, so that you are no longer hanging things over your head a year, 3 years, 10 years down the road. There has to be a level of forgiveness here. And sometimes that feels hard because we feel like we need to be punished. Like we owe this. It's like we have to pay our penance. We have to make up for it in some way. Sometimes we feel like we have to right the wrong. So it's, well, I'll forgive myself for gaining this weight, but after I lose the weight again. I'll forgive myself for this binge, but once, and for this binging habit, but only after I stop binging altogether. I'll forgive myself for going into credit card debt, but only once I pay it all off. I'll forgive myself for getting divorced, but only once, fill in the blank. Only once I get remarried. Only once all my kids are happily married. Only once, whatever. And we feel like, well, I'll forgive myself, but it's conditional. And this is often how many of us grow up. We grow up where love is conditional. And that's what we learn. We have to show up a certain way. We have to act a certain way. We have to be a certain person. We learn at a very young age, 5, 6, 7 years old, what it means to be loved and accepted and part of the tribe, part of the community. And we're making sense of the world at such a young age, or we're trying to, and then we take those beliefs with us all through adulthood. And then we are looking for evidence to prove that thought true. And part of it is we learn how to show we're doing enough. We learn what it means to make a mistake, what it means to fail. And a lot of times there can be punishments. And sometimes there are more natural consequences. And sometimes it is a punishment. And we learn, I do a bad thing, I must now be punished in order to right the wrong, in order to make up for it. And it's not always an overt conscious thought. It can be very subtle. But this can come up around binge eating, for example, where it's, I binged and that was bad, that was wrong, shame on me. And now I'm going to keep binging or binge again as like punishment for that first binge. Like it might show up like that, where subconsciously our brain is just programmed, where the wiring is like, I have to be punished somehow. This came up for me in weight loss because it was, you binged last night. You now need to right this wrong. Now we're really going to restrict carbs. Now we're not going to eat until noon. Now we're going to eat as little as humanly possible. Now we're going to run an extra 2 miles. It wasn't for health reasons. It wasn't because I loved running. It wasn't because I was trying to be healthier. It was punishment. You did a bad thing. You're a bad person. You have this bad habit. And now you must be punished for it. And again, it's not that these things in and of themselves are bad. I now listen to my body and eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm satisfied. And when I'm hungry in the mornings, usually I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry for breakfast. But I'm not trying to wait until noon or wait until 2 p.m. or wait as long as humanly possible to eat. I'm listening for my real hunger. And some days that comes at 11. Sometimes it is noon. Sometimes it's 9:30. Or 8, but I listen to my body. And this is what's really important, is that we learn it's not just about the thing, it's why are we doing it? It's not just that I was running, it's that I was running out of self-punishment, trying to make up for what I ate the night before. This is what we want to understand. And we can't look at it when shame is too big and too heavy and too great, and we keep stuffing it down. And the really hard truth is the more shame we stuff down, the more likely we are to emotionally eat and overeat, the more likely we are to binge, because we keep stuffing down these bigger emotions. And we have to be able to look at it. So the cycle that I've noticed here that we can find ourselves in is when we feel shame, we can't look at it. It creates too much emotional pain because it's, I've done a bad thing and I am a bad person. And when we can't look at it, we can't evaluate it. So we can't learn from it. We can't truly learn from our mistakes, learn from our failures, learn from our weight gain, learn from our binging habit. When you can't learn from it, you can't change the habit. When you can't learn from it, you can't forgive yourself for it. You can't truly move forward. You're in this constant game, in this constant cycle and hamster wheel, trying to make up for it. And sometimes it comes out as punishment. I know for me it did. And that's not the case for everybody, but so often that's what it looks like. As we hang on to this bitterness and resentment and anger, sometimes even self-righteousness, which may have come up a little bit for me and this guy of who does he think he is? How dare he? And I will get to a place of forgiveness. I don't think I've actually forgiven him at this point, but I will get to a place of forgiveness at some point. And I'm not in a rush to get there. Right now, my job is to feel all the emotions that are coming up and to normalize them and to create safety in myself and in my body to feel them. But when we can't truly evaluate, when we can't truly look at it, and we can't do that when we're in shame, we have to really step into compassion and curiosity. But when I can't learn from it, then I make up a bunch of BS rules. Then I make up thought stories in my head of I can't lose weight and eat carbs. I can't lose weight because I was eating breakfast. And this came up yesterday where she was like, yeah, I was intermittent fasting and I was doing really good and I was losing weight. But then I went on holiday and I started eating breakfast again and I gained 7 pounds. And I was like, whoa, you did not. I was like, no. I guarantee you did not gain 7 pounds because you just started eating breakfast. That cannot be the reason. But that's what our brains will attach to. It'll be like, oh, see, I have to fast. Otherwise, I can't lose weight. Oh, see, I can't eat breakfast. Oh, see, I can't eat carbs. Oh, see, I can't do this, can't do that. We don't actually have the full picture and full awareness of why we gained the weight to begin with, or why we regained weight, or why we were emotionally eating and binge eating. And we don't have that full awareness because there's so much emotion. It feels too emotionally dangerous and scary to look at it. And we don't know how to not be in shame without just becoming apathetic and being like, oh, I guess that happened. I'm not going to beat myself up. Because sometimes we don't even want to feel like disappointment. That still comes up for me. That was something I noticed a couple years ago when I first started working with my business coach. It's like the willingness to feel disappointed. And it was so funny. Like it came up again, maybe this year, maybe it was late last year, but I was like, oh my gosh, there's still some resistance to feeling disappointment. And just know, okay, that's all right. I'm going to hold space for it. And this is what it's all about. It's learning to identify what emotions you are feeling and to stop lying to yourself about it, to stop this toxic positivity. Which I made some notes on my phone actually about this concept, because I think so often we get into this cycle of, well, just stay positive, just look on the bright side, just stay focused. And it's a very toxic lens of just staying positive, just stay happy. And it doesn't create a productive result. I had a friend, I think this was like a year, maybe 2 years ago, where she was like, high vibes only. This month, no bad, no negative energy, no negative thoughts, no negative emotions, just high vibes only. And I was at a point where I was like, okay, I need to process my emotions. I need to feel them even when it feels terrible. Okay, even when it feels bad, even when it feels negative. Like, I can't do that. That doesn't resonate with me anymore. This like high vibes only feels fake. to me. And it feels like what I tried to do for so much of my life of just railroad over all the negative, all the bad, and not actually identify and address so that I can tweak and shift and change and truly create the results that I want. And she ended up crying in Great Wolf Lodge in these wolf ears in the middle of a family vacation because she kept trying to railroad over all of her negative emotions, all of her negative thoughts, and just high vibes only, just stay positive. Okay, and I don't say this to shame her by any means. I say this as it's such a prime example of you can push it down, you can shove those emotions down for a little bit of time, but then they're going to pop back up. And it's going to be like this game of whack-a-mole. And we can't keep trying to just stuff the negative emotions down. And I know sometimes I'm afraid of it because I'm like, well, I'm not going to create the results I want in life if I'm like in this scarcity or if I'm in needy energy or if I'm like in this negative aspect. But it's that resistance. It's the stuffing that creates the results that I don't want versus allowing it and feeling it and having the willingness to feel it. That's what it requires here. And this is one of the key areas that I help clients is to stop lying to themselves and to tell themselves the truth and what that would mean. It's like when you have to tell yourself the truth about, let's say, your husband, for example, and then he actually doesn't really love you. He doesn't love you the way that you want him to. He doesn't care for you the way that you want him to. He doesn't value you the way that you want him to. And now what? Because that often will create such loneliness and rejection and maybe trigger some abandonment wounds, some not good enough wounds. And it's really easy just to pave over that and just be like, he's really busy. He's just focused on his family right now. He's just really stressed. Versus accepting the truth of what is. Because when we accept what is and we stop lying to ourselves, we're going to be faced with some shadow elements. We might have to look into the pit and to see what we've been hiding and avoiding for so long. And this is why I do what I do. Not to give you a list of rules to follow, not to tell you what to eat or not to eat, but to help you do the deeper transformational work so that you truly can heal your relationship with food. You can stop emotionally eating and binge eating. You can lose the weight for life. You can create a life after separation or after divorce that is so good. It lights you up so that you believe that your life is not over and that you don't keep turning to new coping mechanisms trying to meet your emotional needs. You don't turn to dating or apps. You don't turn to sex or social media or money or spending or any other behavior trying to just cover it up, trying to meet those needs short term. But most of us grew up in households where we weren't allowed to feel certain emotions. It was bad. It was wrong. It wasn't safe. And now as adults, this is our work, is to create that safety for ourselves to feel them. And it's going to create safety then for our kids. Because when we can handle our own emotions, we can also handle our kids' emotions and anything that comes our way. This is also part of why I've created the Body You Crave Accelerator, which is my new monthly membership. So let me tell you about it, because if you become a private client of mine, you will also get access to the membership. But if you just want to join the membership in the community, you also have that opportunity. So I'll drop a link if you want to learn more in the description, but I'm just going to talk you through some of this because this has been on my mind for a while now, and I've really played around with what do I want this to look like? Because I want there to be a community aspect. I want you to know that you are not alone in this and you don't have to go through this alone. And so often we struggle and we struggle in silence and we struggle with the pain and we just endure it silently. And it is so hard and so overwhelming and we can feel so alone and it just turns into so much shame and it can feel hard to climb out. And I want to surround you with other women who are going through similar things and doing similar amazing things just like you. And so this is all about healing your relationship with food. In this process, in this accelerator, I'm going to teach you how to end the war with food so that there is no more anxiety or mind drama or constantly obsessing and thinking about what am I going to eat and when am I going to eat next and what kind of food is going to be there. There's going to be no more rules and restrictions about what food is bad and off limits. We're going to really decrease the self-loathing that you feel when you eat a bad food. We're going to work on the all or nothing of like, I've been bad, I screwed up. Oh, well, I'll start over tomorrow or I'll start over Monday. And we're going to really break that all or nothing habit. I'm going to teach you how to trust yourself with food again so that you feel in control around all food at all times. And you're not making up these BS excuses like, well, I just can't eat breakfast and lose weight. I just can't eat carbs and lose weight. Honey, you have a human body like the rest of us. We all can eat carbs and lose weight. But let's not make those carbs a pan of brownies at the end of the night, because you know what? That's why I wasn't losing weight. It wasn't because I was eating carbs. It was because I was binging on brownies and protein bars and cookies and ice cream and nuts and jerky and popcorn and all the things, which is why we're going to dive into conquering your cravings and really feeling in control around those cravings and that desire for food. I'm going to teach you the difference between a craving and a food urge so that you know how to properly solve it. And a big focus is going to be around ending emotional eating and your binge eating habit, how to truly break free from this pattern. It's a habit that you learned, which means it's a habit you can unlearn. And I'm going to help you learn how to stop punishing yourself by taking away food. I'm going to teach you how to break that restrict binge regret cycle that keeps you stuck and trapped in diet hell. I'm going to help you heal your relationship with trauma. I'm going to help you redefine your self-worth, your self-esteem, your self-concept, how you view yourself. I'm going to teach you how to forgive yourself for all the things, for all the times you lost weight just to regain it again. I'm going to teach you how to forgive yourself for the binge eating and the emotional eating. I'm going to teach you how to forgive yourself for how you showed up in past relationships, for that divorce, for maybe the affair. I'm going to teach you how to forgive yourself for the time and money and energy spent on things that didn't work, as well on things that may have been for emotional reasons. The self-soothing that we do by spending and shopping and buying. And I'm going to teach you how to truly meet your own emotional needs for yourself so that you are not just turning to new coping mechanisms. That's what it's all about. Because I know you have experienced losing weight. I know you've done it before. And the problem is that now there's shame about where you've gotten. There's shame that you just can't get right back on track. There's shame that you can't seem to do what seems so simple, right? And I get it. We have fear of failure. We have fear of success. We have a lot of subconscious things that are running underneath the surface. And until we make the subconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. You will call it God's will. No more. No. We got to bring that shit to light. We're bringing it into the day. We are going to take all of those shamey, shadowy things that we feel like are make us so unworthy and so not good enough. And we are going to bring it into the light. We're going to shine a light on it and lovingly, compassionately learn how to process through it, process through the emotion, love ourselves through the emotion, through the heartache, through the agony, through the pain, so that you get better and better. So that you no longer need food to make you feel better. You no longer need alcohol to make you feel better. You're no longer looking for somebody else or that dating app to make you feel better. We've got to break these cycles, and that's what the Body You Crave Accelerator is here to do. So that food is no longer the highlight of your day. Exercise is no longer punishment. So that you live at peace and at ease and feeling in control around food all the time. So that binge eating is something of the past. And it is not something you do anymore. You've completely turned a corner. And it's like, that is the old me. That's a part of me. And I'm going to love her on this other side. I love the part of me, the me that was binging for 12 years. I love her deeply because that's what she really needs. She was so hungry for love. And she kept looking for it in all the wrong places. And this is where we're going to look at your real hunger and identify what you're really hungry for and the love that you've been craving, that you've been seeking, the praise, the attention, the validation that you have been seeking, the emotional relaxation, joy, pleasure that you've been seeking with food, with people, with money, with careers, with statuses. I'm going to teach you how to do that for yourself so that you can look in the mirror and love what you see in the reflection. You love who you are. You love your integrity and who you are on the inside, and you love how you're showing up for yourself on the outside. You feel calm and at ease in your body, and you love your body. And you have redefined your worth and your value outside of your body or your weight needing to be a certain number. But you feel at home. You feel comfortable. I'm going to teach you how to give yourself the things that you have longed for decades. Because that's what we're truly after. I'm going to help you accelerate the process. That's why this is an accelerator. Because I've spent so many years working on this. I've spent so many years struggling, and I don't want you to struggle anymore. And I have a plan and a process and a method that will get you from where you are now into the peace and freedom that I know you truly crave. Not just with food, with yourself and your self-talk and your self-love and truly making it unconditional. Because so many of us have never experienced unconditional love from a human. We keep trying, we keep seeking, we keep trying to prove and earn and achieve our way into feeling loved or being loved. And very few of us have experienced true love in this human world from another human. And I'm going to teach you how to love yourself unconditionally. And right now, that might feel really hard because of your habits, because of your body, because you've gained the weight back, because of the binge last night, because of the divorce, because of all the reasons and all of the things that people have used as ammo against you. I'm going to help you break free. That's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. It's to create a life so good, it blows your mind. A life so good, it brings you to tears. Tears of joy, tears of pride, tears of accomplishment and self-validation that you no longer need from somebody else. You no longer seek from someone else. And to really grow in your spiritual relationship right now, whatever that might look like, whether it's with God or a higher power, to deepen and strengthen your spirituality. I want you in here. If this resonates with you, it's time to go. If you have been struggling, whether it's been a couple of months or a couple of years, or maybe what feels like your entire life, it's time to get in and do the work now. If you are a private client of mine, if you work with me one-on-one, you get access to the Body You Crave Accelerator for free. It's a bonus. It comes as part of your work with me one-on-one. So if you want to work with me one-on-one, I still have 2 spots open. You're welcome to snag one of those spots. And you will also get access to the accelerator and the group and the community. And if you just want to join the accelerator, you are more than welcome to. There's a course that goes along with it. There's videos, worksheets, there's course content. We have at least 1 weekly call. There will be at least 6 calls a month. I'm going to make sure there are 2 weekend calls, 2 weekday calls, 2 weeknight calls. So the schedule, we'll be playing with it a little bit over the next couple of months, but I'm going to make sure that there are call times that meet everybody's needs, their work schedule, as well as their time zone. Okay, so you will always be able to show up and get coached if you want it. And there'll be a place in the community where you can ask questions and get coaching in that community, in that space. So if you can't make it live to a call, you can write in and I'll coach you through that. And if you want more private access, more one-on-one accountability and support, if you want unlimited Voxer coaching, unlimited voice messaging month to month, then you'll want to be in my one-on-one program. You want to work with me privately and have this as a bonus. The best place to start and to explore these 2 options is going to be to schedule a free consultation. www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. Find a day and time on my calendar that works for you. And let's talk and let's have a conversation and just explore what this would look like for you. I'm going to help you make the best decision for yourself. I'll give you my advice and what I would recommend. But at the end of the day, this is about you choosing you. You choosing your healing, your path forward. You no longer living in fear. You no longer holding yourself back. You no longer feeling regret and shame over the things that happened years ago. This is about redefining who you are, and we're going to make it freaking amazing. This is where it's at. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what it all comes down to, is now what are you going to do? Are you going to keep just listening to podcasts passively, thinking, oh, those are some good ideas. Nice to know. Oh, that's a really good point. Are you going to keep telling yourself, well, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it? Are you going to stay stuck in these habits and these patterns, or are you going to get the help and support that you actually want? And I got you. This is my zone of genius. This is what I'm an expert at. Not only have I done it for myself, I've done it for other clients, and I can help you too. No one is so far gone that they can't change this habit. No one has gained so much weight that they can't lose it. It is simply not true. Don't believe the lies your brain wants to tell you. And if you find yourself ebbing between being all in and all out, it's time to get some help, get some support. Join me in private coaching or within the Accelerator community. It's time. This is where you need to be. Because we are going to break that habit once and for all. And I promise you're going to break it not just with food and weight loss and binge eating or emotional eating. You're going to break it in so many other areas of your life. Because I guarantee it's permeated your entire life. And it's holding you back. And it's time to say no more. Y'all ready? Let's fucking go. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.